In a world where multi-million dollar satellites are used to find Tupperware in the woods, through the magic of the internet, which is just a series of tubes, coming to you from the surface of planet Earth, the Slaga Geocaching Podcast is about to begin.
This is a Slaga Geocaching Podcast, produced by Paul Konopacki of St. Louis, Missouri. Saturday, March the 28th, 2007. Episode number 60. Audio from Slaga 2007 Spring Picnic held at Mastodon State Park in Missouri.
Hello, everyone. Coming up, you will hear 20 minutes of audio from the 2007 Spring Picnic of the St. Louis Area Geocachers Association. I spend most of my time milling about taking pictures, while Dwayne pulled out a microphone occasionally to interview some of the attendees and capture some audio of the announcements. Let me give you an idea of how the spring and fall picnic is planned and what the agenda was. Slaga asks its membership if someone would like to host a spring or fall picnic. Duties are finding an adequate place, time, and agenda. We'd like the location to vary, but still be located near where most of our membership lives. The host publishes the event cache page and collects information on who will be bringing what beverage or side dish. This year, the cost of attending was adults $5, kids 5 to 12 was $2, and kids 4 and under were free. This covers the cost of meat, condiments, utensils, and pavilion fee. In the past, Slaga has held its picnics in St. Louis County Parks and Missouri State Parks. We reserve a pavilion for the day and place temporary caches for attendees to find. Slaga members donate items for a silent auction, such as geocoins, hiking equipment, and knickknacks that they have in their closet or garage. All proceeds go into the Slaga treasury. The 50-50 drawing allows one lucky attendee to take 50% of the take in raffle tickets, while the other 50% goes into the Slaga treasury. New to this picnic, but not new to geocaching events, was a poker run, where caches hold poker chips that can be redeemed for playing cards. After all the chips are in, the top three cachers with the best poker hand win prizes. At the spring and fall picnic, all Slaga members who have paid annual dues of $10 for individual or $15 for family are eligible for a drawing of gift cards. You need not be present to win. Hosting the 2007 spring picnic was Mariel and Dave Leggett, aka Pickawan's Cake and Flat Cats. One advantage of hosting is that you can schedule a picnic near where you live. So we had this picnic at Mastodon State Park near Imperial, Missouri. The weather was great. Parking was a bit sparse, and unfortunately the bathrooms had been vandalized the night before. Lane and I arrived early enough to watch people arrive. Right off the bat, Dwayne talks to a pair of new geocachers who were also newlyweds. Here are Cart Oh Boy 123 and Carla Warla.
And you're
Gene.
Gene Cart Oh Boy 123. Now, where'd you come up with that at?
Well, I'm a cartographer by trade. I worked down at the map plant the last 24 years. It's unusual for the be working at the same place for that long nowadays. I moved to the St. Louis area for the job and been at it ever since. Doing the geocaching thing's fairly new.
How'd you find out about it?
I was given a GPS unit a couple of years ago and didn't get a chance to use it until a little more recently. And I had actually asked for one as a gift. Got my girlfriend involved in it, and we just wanted a little exercise, and there's nothing like a good hunt in the process. Yeah. That's my wife, Carla. We've been married 3 weeks. We're married 3 weeks today in a backyard ceremony. Record cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Carla's from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a beautiful summer day in Saskatoon. So. We had about 30 of our closest friends and family, right? And the day after our wedding, on our honeymoon, we were actually geocaching.
There you go. That's dedication. Go geocaching on your honeymoon.
Where was it? Steelville in Cuba, actually. Just an excuse to get out and hold hands and walk. If we see the gentleman that hid that thing in the park in Steelville, we'll have to pull out his hair or something. I don't know. You know, like Cubs, I think. That's a fun thing when people lead you on a chase, you know. I've done about 100, and I think Carla's done about 60. Cashed in Canada since I've been up there a couple of times. As far south as Florida and as far north as Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
As I was talking to two feds, Dwayne wandered by with a microphone and I waved him over. Let me give you some background on two feds. I first met them, they were a geocaching couple, a year ago at one of the Slaga Geocaching 101 classes. I happened to be recording audio for a podcast during that class and have some audio of them putting their learning to work during the outdoor portion of the training. Later, I ran into them at the 2006 MOG event in Pierre Marquette. On their first day of that event, they spent all day lost on the park roads and weren't able to find a single cache. I last saw them at the 2007 MOG event, where they seemed to have figured it all out.
So you can do 6 on a page, and then you bake them, and they shrink down to this. Because the ones that you can actually print on a regular printer, they're gone all the time. So we went to the coins. It's easier.
I know a lot of other people are doing customized wood nickels as trinkets now.
I just throw them in. So I kind of sent them what we did before, and then they said, well, how does this look? And I said, fine. Cool. So, you know, they did the coin for us. And this is free, this side. Uh-huh. And then we just designed that side. So.
Okay.
Because we wanted the arch.
Why two feds?
We both work for the government. I just retired on January 3rd with 37 years. 2 weeks later, went back as a contractor. So I moved 2 floors down. So now I'm double dipping. More money, a little more, you know. But the one good thing about being a government retiree is you can collect your full retirement. There's not that Social Security where they, you know, you can only make so much. Government retirees collect their full retirement. And still work. I retired at 55. One nice thing about government retirement is you get cost of living, and you get your health benefits forever.
Well, thank you for your dedication to our country.
And now you should thank me because I'm just contributing my Social Security money because I will never collect Social Security.
Why won't you collect it?
I won't have 40 quarters.
Oh,
I'm only going to work 2 years.
Okay.
Now. And before I started the government the day after high school graduation, I had 1 year with the telephone company. You know, the old wired head.
Switchboard operator.
Yep. Uh-huh. Longest since.
Yeah. Is this the party to who I'm speaking?
You know, you could listen into any conversation you wanted.
That would be fun.
We used to have a strip of things that was called Convent Garden, and I used to think they were the nuns, you know? And I kept thinking, why do these nuns get all these phone calls? It was a towing company.
You were talking about you're going to be cashing in Europe.
Yeah, we're going to do some. Mostly virtual, because I just don't want to pay that $150 for the map. Well, that's the reason we got a second Garmin is because, you know, two people can use the same maps. But when I looked at the price for the Europe, I thought, there ain't no way. Yeah. And how much time are we going to really have to do that? So I printed out a bunch of virtual, you know, from Google Maps, because they're pretty good maps. And I'm hoping I can find out. Well, one of them's Omaha Beach. We ought to be able to find Omaha Beach. You know, and there's a couple cemeteries where they want you to find one tomb that'll be different than all the rest and stuff like that.
It's France, Switzerland,
and Italy. So.
You'll love the food.
I'm looking forward to the trip. Never been over there. It's kind of a neat thing we do as each of us girls, there's 6 kids, and each of the girls turned 50, we do something special. So when I turned 50, we went to Hawaii. The next sister turned 50, 8 girls went to New York City. The next one's turning 50, and she wants to do Europe, but we're taking husbands this time. And this is the first picnic we came to, because we've never come to the picnics before. I looked at the weather last week and it said it was supposed to be a beautiful day. We actually saw somebody on the way here. I'm figuring they were coming here because they had stopped their car. They had papers in their hand and a GPS.
Uh-huh.
And they were on Merrimack Bottom Road. Uh-huh. And we kind of thought, you know, they must be geocaching. Well, now, what does it mean on the webpage for today? On the right side, it showed all the travel bugs and all that. What does that mean?
That means that people are registering that the coin will be here so that if you want to add it to your list as being discovered, then you can write that number down.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, there was a whole list of them, and I thought, well, what does that mean? Are they all putting them somewhere, or are they just...
The coins they usually bring for you to write the number down on, and then they take them home. Travel bugs are usually just, I'll bring it, you take it, put somewhere else.
Okay, I know the... Okay, wait, because we've moved some along. We've moved some especially when we were coming back from Arizona. We picked up several and moved them back.
That's nice when you travel a lot to be able to move them from state to state.
And one of them was a neat one, because it was a little green troll, and you needed to take pictures by national parks, so we would you know, we would stop and take pictures, and this one guy said, "What are you doing?" A windy day, and the troll kept, but he kept moving, falling over because it was so windy. And we actually put him there, and we kept, and so he goes, "Why are you taking it?" And then I explained the whole thing, and he goes, "Oh, that sounds like a neat thing. I'll have to look into it."
A couple of weeks ago, two of our prolific cache hunters, Happy Kraut and RGS, both reached their 3,000th find milestone. Dwayne sought them out to get a few words.
3,000.
A long, hard road.
Right. There will never be a
6,000.
Maybe not even a 4.
What we're going to do is we're going to change our name to Happy RGS. That gives us 6,000. We got Bruce Beat.
Yeah.
And then you
got to
relog them all, though.
He can do that. He's got a lot of time.
He's going to give me a dime for each one I log, and it'll be
worth
it.
Well, hey. Maybe I can get in on that
action. Yeah, right.
Too. When did you start? You probably started before me, though, didn't you?
I started in November of, 2000?
Oh, you started that early.
Or was it 2001? I don't know. When was the very first picnic? You know, the one that had a
way before my
time. I started like 2 weeks after that.
I started in February of 2003.
Oh, yeah. So I'm way ahead of you.
Yeah.
But you live way out there.
Yeah.
That works against you.
It's been fun.
Oh, really?
Well, you're not going to quit now, are you?
No, I don't plan on it.
Huh?
No.
You meet a lot of very interesting people.
So yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
And as soon as I get ahead of Rich, he'll never see me again, guaranteed.
Where are you going this summer?
Newfoundland.
I got caches there?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Or you wouldn't go.
Tons of them.
Driving?
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're pulling the RV.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. We're down in Clarksville, Arkansas, and the day after the event, we go and do a cache. There's three caches on this little gravel road, and I'm doing the final one and walking back toward the car, and a white pickup pulls up alongside of us. And guy gets out and says, "You find it?" And I said, "Yeah." And, you know, it was his cache. And he said, "Well, good." He says, "Come on up to," it was like 11:30. He says, "Come on up the road. We're going to go have lunch. We'll buy you lunch." Just a stranger out of the woods. It doesn't happen around here.
No.
Yeah, we did one down in Louisiana the other day, and it was in this guy's driveway. And Cashfish said it was okay to park in the driveway, you know, so we pull in there and kind of pull it off the road a little bit. And he didn't get out of the truck yet. This car comes down the road and he stops and he's just standing there, you know, just standing there. Didn't have his turn signal on or nothing. And he didn't move, just standing there, you know. And I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and move my truck. So I move my truck over and he comes into the driveway and he stops. "Yeah, can I help you?" And I says, "Well, we're cashing." He says, "Cash pitch says it's okay to park right here." "So you doing what?" I says, "Geocaching." "Oh, yeah," he says, "that's my brother-in-law's." He was going down the driveway to visit his brother-in-law. And about 3-4 minutes later, it was a real long driveway out in the country.
Uh-huh.
Here comes a pickup scooting down the road, and it was his brother-in-law, you know. So he was really nice. We talked for a pretty good while.
Uh-huh.
It was a 5-gallon bucket. He had it tied to a tree. Just
hard to miss.
Yeah. But it was a book thing. It was full of books.
Oh, okay.
But that 5-gallon bucket was so hard to open. And, you know, I've had so much trouble with my wrists and shoulders and everything. I couldn't get in it. And finally, I think she was able to open it enough so we could just sit for a hand in there and get the logbook out.
So what was your 3,000?
I made the event 3,000. Actually, it was probably about 3,500 or 3,010. I just didn't log something the night before.
My plan was to make this 3,000. And then the Al Foster thing came up. That put me 20 ahead right there.
Part of these trips like this are logging all those caches.
I know.
And then, you know, they all blend in together. Yeah. Oh, was this the micro in the tree or the micro
exactly.
in the tree?
Yes, we don't take good notes, do we?
No.
I always hate to
learned from Bernie. You got this, is that it? He's got one of those little recorders, digital recorders.
The little recorder.
Yeah. Right. Kind of like that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time you get to a cache, the GC number and just a short description.
Or,
and then I get back that night.
That's a good idea.
And it rings a bell then.
Or a lot of times, I'll go ahead and print out that hint sheet. Matter of fact, you're the one showing me how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make a little note right on the hint sheet. And then when I get back to the trailer in the evening, I'll go ahead and log them that night in my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with GSAC, you can just cut and paste that into your GC.com. So that works out really good for us. But if I don't write it down or record it, I can't remember one from another.
It was obvious we had a new cacher in our midst. The opportunity came up to ask him to introduce himself to the podcast. Here is Skylar Dragon and his impressions.
Are you a new cacher?
I am. Brand new. I've only found three.
Oh, hey, everybody, baby. Noob!
Noobie! What do I have to do? What's the raising going on?
How many you found? What you did to get them?
I've sought after more than three. Are you recording everything?
Of course.
That's awesome. Hello.
Introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Matthew McCann. I teach at St. Thomas Middle School. My username is Skylar Dragon. I'm full of all kinds of personalities. I can even do Cookie Monster.
Okay, me tell you. If you miss this event, you really miss a big, wonderful event because there are a lot of cookies here, and there are a lot of geocoins, and a lot of cool geocaches. It's very fun, let me tell you. Now, you be careful, I might eat microphone.
Subjects do you teach?
I teach language arts at St. Thomas Middle School, 7th and 8th graders.
English teacher!
I've taught journalism, too. I take pictures for the kids for the yearbook. I've been doing that for almost 10 years now, and I love it. Worked in the high school for a while.
How did you get introduced to geocaching?
Book Crossing. Book Crossing is another online thing. Yeah, so I logged on to Book Crossing, found books, started tracking books, tracing books, listing books free, and I met somebody on Book Crossing that is a geocacher, and they showed me the way. I don't remember.
Jen Geyer.
I don't know by first name. I only know by usernames.
NYI Sutter?
Yeah. Yes, one of the first books I found was a new NYI Sutter. Yeah.
Started out Book Crossing, and then after a while, put a ammo can out with just books. That was her connection between Book Crossing.
Oh, yeah. And we have a Book Crossing bookshelf in my classroom. It's kind of pseudo. You know, we don't have strangers coming in off the streets, but the kids will take the books.
When did you start?
Late March, I think. So,
late March?
Yeah, I've only been at it for a little bit. And I've only been doing it on the weekends. Found two of them last weekend. So.
And how'd you find out about the picnic?
I was looking for area geocachers.
Oh, caches within?
Yeah, the area. And I found the Slaga site that way.
Okay.
And I think somebody might have told me about it, too, and said I could come.
Okay.
And my wife had to work today, and always on Saturdays, I'm staying home just relaxing. And now, I haven't found any of the temporary caches yet today. Right now, I'm networking, meeting a lot of people.
That's
and
good.
That's kind of what I'm learning. Yes. Yeah, I saw several of the travel bugs they had out there. And I actually took peanut butter, one of the geo bugs I found, down to Farmington last weekend because I was looking for the ones in St. Francis State Park. And we never found the caches in St. Francis State Park.
None of them?
But no.
Okay.
Not very good. But
you know,
I took pictures of peanut butter with me. And he's a little bear, and we were hiding from the police and everything. I took a picture of him on my car door, and there's a police car right outside. So I have that posted on the site. I've invited certain kids that I know that are interested in that sort of thing, and I've already given them information about it, and I'm going to take them on a pseudo hunt first at school, because we have a little trail behind our school. So I'll do a practice one, and then I'll introduce them to it that way, and I'll bring them out for other events. If they show a lot of interest or a lot of success at our little practice ones, then I would help them find some of the other caches. Yeah, I know they would have fun doing it. Kids are awesome with this. Oh, yeah, and I see lots of great families here.
Yeah. What you hear the definition of Slaga is it's an eating group that does geocaching.
Yes.
And there's disorder.
Yeah, and there's lots of great food here, too.
Familiar with the Slaga website?
Yeah, I actually picked up a business card in one of the caches I found because I was like, oh, cool. So.
And you do any other invitations?
The kids said once I sounded like Lilo off Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you try that one?
Blue Punch Battle! And I also do a Tasmanian Devil one.
Okay.
The kids like that a lot. I use that when I get mad. But yeah, you have to be a character to be a teacher. And a geocacher.
Cool. Appreciate you showing up.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you both. Thanks for recording. I love having an audience.
During the afternoon, time ran out on the silent auction. Here we have Michael, also known as Arthur of Arthur and Trillion, announcing some of the winners.
Oh, coins, cashing in the holidays, donated by Crow's Feet, went for $6.50 for Ladybug St. Louis. There you go. Take one of the doors. Thank you very much, man. For the geocache container with pill container for logs, donated by the cat. It went to Wheeling B for $1.
Estimate value $6.
For a geocache mirror tag, two of them, donated by RGS. The winning bid is Steve Bromley for $10.
We got to auction this cell phone off that we've found out there in the woods.
Alright. gold compass rose donated by Java programmer and a reserve of $10. I win it, 1651.
Okay.
For a hiking stick with the Slaga logo, it's really cool. Donated by Corn Cat. Treasure chaser takes it home at $17. Third place on the poker run. Give it up for the cat. With a three of a kind sticker.
By the way, there were 79 people on the poker run today.
Wow.
Second place goes to T. Kreska, Tom.
That's our friend that just
won. Oh, good. They got three of
okay.
Seven.
All right.
And here's our grand prize winner.
The grand prize winner
with a full house.
Full house. G Omegan 01.
I think he's on the playground.
Slaga President Steve Bromley leads the membership meeting and takes some questions from the attendees.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Java programmer Steve Bromley. I'm president of Slaga. This is our official business meeting for Slaga for the year. First thing I'd like to do is express my sincere thank you to Pete at One Stage and Flatcast for organizing this picnic and for doing everything that they did. I know they spent a lot of hours on this. I'm going to give them a round of applause. Thank you.
Our balance is, and this is prior to today, $1,328.29. One of the major expenses that we've had this year was $300 for our 501c7 application, and that is for our nonprofit status. And that went directly to the IRS. And we got a letter back stating that they received our application and have cashed our check and will let us know in 6 months. So, yay! That's progress! some of the other expenses we've done was for Blue Host, our website, Slaga Carabiner. So we've spent $80 for the meeting room, so we have our classes, which I know a lot of you have enjoyed.
Will there be, at any time, coins, Slaga coins?
Our intention is yes. We have to figure out how to financially do it without putting ourselves in a hole. Even though we have $1,300, we're also trying to bring food for the events that we do, like we did the trail days last week.
What if we had a contest? You know, somebody designs the backside. We pretty much know what the backside's going to look like. It's the front side that we need. What if we have a contest? We put it out to the whole membership, and whoever comes up with it, like, wins 5 coins or something like that.
Who's deciding? Do you have a coin committee?
Have not yet. We wanted to make sure that before we spent a lot of time and effort on doing a lot of thinking into what other interests.
Pre-sales are going to be the big thing.
Until we get a front that people will talk about, we really won't do that. I don't want to do that because I won't commit to a point if I can't have any clue what it looks like. I mean,
just put a big question mark on
the front. Well, that's over. Other questions?
Yes. You had mentioned $80 for the training sessions for the meeting room.
Yes.
With the library.
Yes.
I didn't know they charged. I thought
$10.
I thought it was all free.
$10 a night for 2 hours, 3 hours. Between
is
six
it
and nine.
Going to stay in South Canada?
It seems like, because right now we've got a great venue, we've got wireless internet, and we know where it's at. So I know it's not convenient for everybody, but it's a good place. If you can find some place in St. Charles, I can do the same thing.
As the picnic winds down, we talk to Muriel, a.k.a. Pika Wants Cake, about planning the picnic and what she thought about the day.
Few words from the picnic organizer.
How long were you planning this?
Since December or November. We're trying to figure out where.
What made you choose here?
It's close by. Okay. I live like half a mile away. Met the land manager, and she said that we could park in the reserved area that they use only for camping for youth organizations. So they opened that area up. It's got about 60 parking spots in it.
What made you want to decide to host it?
You know, it just seemed like a lot of fun to be on the other side. Most of the time at picnics we'll sit around and eat and talk and then we're gone. And so I'm just like, there's got to be a little more to it. So we decided to go ahead and try our hand at it.
Okay.
And I think we did pretty good. It was a great turnout. It was more than what I expected.
Guesstimate on
about 114.
Well, you did very well.
Twice.
Food was
amazing.
Out of this world.
It is amazing. Some of the stuff that people have brought from home I need the recipes. But overall, I think it turned out really well. I think most people had fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was fun doing it.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.
Congratulations, you found it, intentionally or not, the Maine Podcast, the audio companion to Maine Geocaching Association.com. I hope you're enjoying the Slaga Geocaching Podcast. Paul's been very generous with advice and encouragement, and I'd like to invite you to visit us sometime at Maine Geocaching Association.com. This is Khaki. Our usual announcer, the Doctor of Rockology, is away, so I'll let you know what's in store for spring. Katad and Goddess and I are right on screech, dear, because it's that wonderful time of year, right in between mud season and mosquitoes, when the wildflowers are sprouting in the woods and the urban micros start to become muggle central. Join us to talk about the joys and trials of geocaching in the Pine Tree State every month on the 1st and the 15th, free on iTunes and at MaineGeocachingAssociation.com. Live, breathe, cache. Hey, yeah.